Hello, and welcome to Spirit of Film Conversations. I'm your host, Randall Libero. Each week, we showcase today's top independent and visionary filmmakers whose movies evoke what I call the spirit of film, which is a metaphor for the movie's magical power to transform our lives. And a life-changing movie experience is what today's show is all about. We're taking you behind the scenes of a film called The Secret, and I'm proud to say we have an exclusive interview with visionary producers Rhonda Byrne and Paul Harrington. The Secret is an inspiring journey through history to modern times that tells the story of a great secret that was discovered by exceptional men and women who went on to become the greatest people who ever lived. The Secret reveals amazing real-life stories and testimonials of regular people who have changed their lives in profound ways. By applying The Secret, they present instances of eradicating disease, acquiring massive wealth, overcoming obstacles, and achieving what many would regard as impossible. The Secret is also the very first motion picture ever to premiere as a web-based, full-screen, on-demand video with stereo sound. We'll talk with Rhonda in the first half of today's show and Paul in the second half. So join me as we explore the amazing story behind the creation of the year's most groundbreaking film, The Secret. Well, we're here in the studio with Rhonda Byrne from The Secret, and she's one of the producers. So hi, Rhonda.
Hi, Randall. How are you? Thank you very much for having me here.
Oh, well, thank you. It's a pleasure to have you on my show. And I have to say that I know you don't do a lot of interviews, so I actually used The Secret to get you to come on and talk about it.
Indeed, you must have. And you did it very well.
So I'm very grateful to have you here today to talk about the movie. First of all, I wanted to kind of go back to the beginning. In the first part of the film, when people see it, there's a sequence where we actually see you in the film mm-hmm. talking about how you got the idea to do the movie, and it shows kind of what happened to inspire you to create it. So I just wanted for all of our listeners to kind of for you to fill in the blanks of what was the original inspiration for you to create The Secret, and what were some of the interesting little points of experience that you had along the way before the film actually got started.
Well, it was around about September, October 2004, and what we did in the film was we encapsulated that time of my life. And really, I'm sure a lot of people would understand this. I'd had the toughest year ever. I'd made six films. I barely had a day off. Everything that went wrong, went wrong. My father died suddenly that year. I had not seen my friends. All of my relationships were in a mess. I had my accountants of my company, because I have a production company, saying to me that despite the six films that I'd made and all the work I'd done, I'd run a loss, and they told me that my company would go under by January. On top of that, I had my mother, who was completely grief-stricken. My parents had had the love affair the most beautiful love affair I have ever seen, and she was completely grief-stricken. So I got all of these calls on this day, and the last one was with my mother, and my mother just didn't want to live. And I really understood, but I couldn't bear the thought of it. And it took all of those things to happen to me, one after the other, so severe, that on this particular night, I just didn't have any answers, you know. I didn't know how to fix any of it. It was just overwhelming. And I completely collapsed and was sobbing. And my daughter, who was 24 at the time, asked me what was wrong. And then I just listed off all these things, all this and this and this and this, and went into it all. And she said, oh, it'll be okay. And I like, really flippantly, you know, this was, like, serious. I was thinking I wanted to jump off the balcony, you know. And I said, hey, you don't understand. You don't understand. I'm so afraid. My mother doesn't want to live. And she just said to me, you need to read something. And she went and got this photocopied, crumpled up, grubby thing with a bulldog clip on it. And she said, read this. The last page is missing, but you'll get the hang of it. And that was a book that was written 100 years ago. And it took me an hour and a half to read. A small book changed my life, because that book contained within it a glimpse of the secret. And from that moment, I then just began tracing this knowledge back through history and putting the secret together until I knew I had the whole of it. In that hour and a half, I knew that I was going to take this knowledge to the world, because I couldn't believe that I had lived my life and I didn't know this. And I looked around at the world and I realized so many people didn't know it. And throughout history, the greatest people who've ever lived had this knowledge, which is really like the law of life. It's the rules of life. And they had this knowledge, and that was how they accomplished everything that they did. And everything that I had thought about life up until that time, that you had to work hard, that you had to struggle, that bad things could happen to good people, that there were lots of problems and you had to solve them. Even though I was a really happy, positive person and I'd accomplished lots of things, I kind of thought that it was a bit of the luck of the draw. You know, you could be in the wrong place at the wrong time. I saw healthy people drop dead in marathons and, you know, all those things. And all of that that I believed then was the opposite of what is really the case. But if you don't know the secret, if you don't have this knowledge, it is working all of the time, just like the law of gravity, then you are using it by default. When you have this knowledge, you realize that you can bring absolutely anything you want into your life. There is no problem that cannot be solved. So that kind of sums up that.
That is quite a story. Yeah. I didn't, you talk about it in the film a little bit, but I didn't know that... It was a very deep experience for you.
Oh, indeed it was. And I didn't really want to in the film, because I just wanted to touch on it so that people kind of knew where it began. Because it really doesn't, it's all kind of irrelevant in some ways. It was just that my life was hit hard. But I mean, I now know that I brought all that to me, because I wasn't using the secret in the right way. I was misusing it because I didn't know the knowledge. So, and of course now, like 18 months later, it was just impossible, truly, to, from October 2004, the secret was released in March 2006. It's, you know, that would have been impossible to have accomplished, but we used the secret. I taught my team the secret over 8 weeks. And we use the secret to create the secret. We use it every single day. It's every breath I take. And and for people who think, they don't really have an opportunity to have all the money that they want, or all the things that they want, or all the health that they want, or all the love that they want, or all the happiness that they want, all of that is wrong. You can have absolutely everything. There are just no limits to what human beings can do when they understand what they have within them.
Right, that's absolutely correct. One of the things that we say on Seventh Wave, one of the little IDs we have, is choose your experience.
Yes.
And so that's one of the principles in The Secret, actually. The Secret presents many instances of people who are, and stories about people who are eradicating disease and mm-hmm. acquiring massive wealth, overcoming obstacles, and achieving what many would regard as impossible,
yes.
using The Secret.
Yes.
And so you're in the ranks of what I call the new visionary filmmakers, who are actually using spiritual principles in life, in the way that they view life, to actually create movies.
Yes, that's right.
So that's the story that you just told, and that's one of the reasons why I'm doing the show, because I really want people to know that not only in all walks of life, but also in the film business, that filmmakers and producers and directors and screenwriters can start using these principles to not only spread the word, that the kind of message that you have in The Secret, but to also to create, you know, projects that are going to uplift humanity.
Yes, Indeed.
And that's one of the goals of your primetime productions, is to create media that does just that. Can you talk a little bit about the focus of your company?
Well, the intention of The Secret, and that's a big part of it now, and all of the films that we're going to continue to make, but the intention is to inspire and uplift humanity, and the intention of The Secret, that night that I discovered it, was that and I didn't have a name for it then, by the way. I used The Secret to get the name too. I used The Secret for everything, but the intention of The Secret is to bring joy to the world and joy to billions, and I mean that's happening. It's becoming a phenomenon. People all around the world are seeing The Secret and sharing it immediately with everyone they love and their friends, and it's compatible with every creed, race, religion that there is. And all I wanted to do was to present the knowledge, and then the choice is each individual person's. But at least if they have the knowledge, you know, at least if they have the knowledge that sitting in their chair in their lounge room, they can totally turn their life around.
Well, one of the things that you created in terms of people finding out about The Secret was a very innovative way to put it out to the world.
Yes.
And it was actually the very, as to my knowledge, the very first feature film that was distributed as an online event on the internet.
Right. That's right. And do you know what? It's amazing, Randall, because with my vision of The Secret, really I held to the outcome, which is what we teach in The Secret. You don't need to know all the steps along the way. All you need to know is your vision, and you will bring everything to you that you require, and it will just fall into your lap. It really will. That's what happened with us. And with The Secret, my vision that was that it would go around the world in 24 hours, in a 24-hour period, and I had in my mind that I thought that would happen through television networks, and that was very early on, and that became really clear that it wasn't going to, and I realized, oh, I'm getting caught up in the how it's going to happen, and it just isn't my job. You know, just hold to the vision. And, you know, The Secret was released instantaneously around the world in a first ever, and how that all came about was us just trusting the way all along the way. And Vivid Eyes is this amazing technology, and we heard about this technology. Our CEO, Bob Renone, went to Vivid Eyes, and he worked with the scientists to bring that technology up to a point where we could stream a movie online. So really what happens is when you click on and you decide to watch The Secret online, your computer turns into a television monitor, broadcast quality stereo sound. And you've got all the buttons to pause and rewind and play. And it really, that alone is an amazing experience, because when you click and you see it happen, you just realize, oh my gosh, this is the future.
Right, it is. And one of the cool features of about, when I was watching it at home with my wife and my daughter, we could actually pause the movie, we could pause the stream and go do something and come back and start it and hit play, and then would play from where it stopped.
Exactly. So great, isn't it?
Yeah, and I thought that was I'd never seen that before.
Yes, it's wonderful. Well, there are all of the features that we said to the scientists at Vivid Eyes must be included to make the experience work really well for people, because interruptions do happen, so... Yes, but it's wonderful. Hey, who could have ever imagined that The Secret would have gone out around the world that way?
Right.
I could never have imagined that, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's why you didn't get caught up in the how.
I didn't get caught up in the how. And that's a human trait, you know, because we've all, and it's through no fault of ours, but in our upbringing and our education, and we all think we have to make things happen. We look out in the world and we think, oh, we have to make all these things happen. We've got to do and make things happen. It just isn't that way at all. And that real thing of letting go and just seeing the outcome of what you want, feeling what you want, imagining what you want, holding to that, knowing that in the moment you want it, it's yours. and it's here, and just holding to that, it will all just come to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, at this point, you are starting to move from distribution online, and you also have the film available on DVD as well.
Yes.
If anyone wants to get one, they just go to thesecret.tv.
Yes.
And you're starting to move into the area of traditional distribution for movies, which is into film festivals.
That's right.
So tell us a little bit about where the film is being seen right now outside of the Internet.
Right. Well, we had the Lake Tahoe Film Festival come to us and ask. They'd seen The Secret, and they asked us if they could, if The Secret could open the Lake Tahoe Film Festival. And there are, look, you know, Randall, we have now so many film festivals. We never went to them. They came to us because we live The Secret. We don't actually go to anyone. We just see the vision and all comes. So, and I know there's a film festival in Canada coming up in October, I think, the Tofino Film Festival. But I think on the plays at the moment, there are probably about 25 requests from film festivals from Mexico to all sorts of places. Requesting that The Secret be included. And, you know, normally with film festivals, what happens is filmmakers submit their film and the film festival organizers look at all of the films and they decide which films will be shown. Well, with The Secret, it's not happening that way. They're coming to us and they're asking us, can we include The Secret? It's just, you know, it's a great thing for filmmakers. I would just say to any filmmaker, you've just got to know The Secret. You've got to know this because you can do whatever. You can just, all of your visions and your dreams for your film, you can have it all, but you've got to leverage the universe, you know. Do what the ancient Egyptians did. I mean, man was building clay huts before the pyramids and was building clay huts after them. What did the ancient Egyptians know that man, that humankind didn't know around them? You know what? They knew The Secret. And that is how they built the pyramids. That they leveraged the universe. They knew The Secret.
Right. That's why the pyramids are actually in the structure of the stars of the belt of Orion, because they're connected to the heavens.
Exactly. Exactly. It's so fantastic. To give you an idea of my complete trust in The Secret, after I had taught my staff The Secret, because it was imperative that all of my team knew this knowledge so that we could bring everything that we wanted effortlessly to us, I, just this one particular day, I just got this huge urge through me that I need to get on a plane and go to the United States. I just said to my team, I have to go now, right now, I have to go now. And we did not have one single thing organized to film. Nothing whatsoever. And I said to my team, be prepared to follow me to film. I knew to fly to Los Angeles, and I booked into Los Angeles for 2 days, and I knew within those 2 days I would know where I was, where I would go from there. And on the morning of the second day, I just got all of these phone calls from Chicago, and I was like, right, I've got to go to Chicago. Do you know that from the day I landed in the United States, 7 weeks later, we had filmed 55 teachers, 120 hours of film, and we did not make a single phone call?
That's amazing.
I know.
That is absolutely amazing. It's a lesson for anybody who makes a film.
We could not have organized that schedule. That would... All of these people that were included in The Secret, their days are booked out a year in advance.
I know. I work with a lot of them on the radio.
We could never have done that. You know, that was the secret. We had John Hagelin fly back from Europe. Every single teacher dropped what they did. They flew to us. It was the most fantastic thing.
Mm. Yeah, that is quite a story.
Yeah.
Now, Paul Harrington, who is going to be on in the second half hour of the show, talked a little bit about your partnership with Paul and how you two got together and kind of where things are at with Primetime.
Well, Paul has been with me pretty well from the inception of Primetime, and we've mainly, before The Secret came along, every single one of our concepts were original concepts. And it's really odd, Randall, because I look back, everything that we created were things that made you feel really good. So I was kind of doing it even before The Secret. I never wanted to make anything that didn't make you feel good, you know. And Paul has been with me since that time. And then, of course, with The Journey of The Secret, it's been amazing. And so Paul produced The Secret. He lives it every day. I'm so proud of him. And there aren't probably enough words that I could say about the team that came to create The Secret. They're the most magnificent human beings ever. And I'm going to share a story with you about something that Paul did. It's one of the things we do in The Secret is we give. Every day we wake up and we say, where can we give today? What can we give today? And there was a story of a woman who had a son that was about 10 years old and seeing a psychiatrist every week, very depressed, suicidal, on very, very heavy drugs. And she saw The Secret and she showed it to her son. And her son, they wanted a new truck apparently, but the truck that they wanted, they were told, did not exist. And her son drew this truck and imagined this truck, and they just happened to go past this car yard, and here was the truck they were told did not exist. And the parents of the child looked at the truck and said, oh, but we can't afford it. And the young child said, you have to buy that truck because The Secret bought the truck, you have to get it. And so they trusted and they put the deposit down, and within 48 hours they got a windfall of money that paid for that truck. And their son's life began to turn around. And what happened over a 3-week period, all these things happened that prevented their son from going to the psychiatrist. And after 3 weeks, when they finally went to the psychiatrist couldn't believe what had happened and said, I have to take your son off these drugs straight away. This is just a total miracle. And this was all from... I've got a phone ring. And this was all from The Secret, and she wrote in to us to tell us this. And the part in The Secret that really touched this son was the sequence of the little boy with the bike. Mm-hmm. And that sequence is affecting a lot of children, in that they look at that and they realize they can do and have anything. And when we read this story, it just touched our hearts. She wrote to us and said, The Secret has just saved our son's life. And she was so full of gratitude. And Paul just decided, just his own thing, you know. He ordered the bike that's featured in The Secret and he had it delivered to their front door, just the way that bike was delivered to the boy in The Secret.
Wow.
And that's the team that I have. They're the people that I have that work on The Secret. And that just gives you an idea of the kind of human beings they are. Here's something else, Randall.
Well, I'll be you stay tuned to this program. I'll be talking with Paul Harrington in just a few minutes. I just want to close out. We're getting close to the time that we've allowed here. But what advice would you have for filmmakers right now? Because one of the things in this program is it goes out to a lot of people who are interested in making movies. What's your piece of advice to them who are looking to produce visionary movie projects of their own? What would you tell them?
I would say to them, if they have a vision of a film, that they look at that vision of the film, and if their intention of that in creating that film is that it's a film that will inspire and uplift humankind rather than an ego journey. But if they are totally focused on creating something that is going to give to humankind, and they hold to that vision, and they see that vision, they see it as done already, okay? So they imagine the success of it, they imagine it touching people's lives. Do you know what? It has to be. If they do that, it has to be. If they trust in all of that, then it must be. They will create a film that will touch the hearts of millions of people. So it's really trusting in the laws of the universe and using those to leverage every step along the way. But if you are giving from your heart and you are giving to humankind, because we are one, we are all one. We think we're separate, but we're one. If you are giving to humankind, oh my gosh, the laws of the universe will just flood back. It'll part seas for you. It'll light the path for you. You will just live a life that's a miracle.
Yeah, that's a wonderful piece of advice. Well, we're coming to the close of our time with Rhonda. And if you don't know about The Secret and you've been listening to the show and you want to find out more, of course, open up another browser in your computer, and you can go to thesecret.tv. That's thesecret.tv. And The Secret features a lot of the world's greatest teachers, best-selling authors, and leading-edge pioneers in the fields of business, economics, medicine, psychology, science, history, and relationships. And it's an amazing two-hour journey that will definitely change your life. Rhonda, I really want to thank you for spending some time with us on Spirit of Film Conversations. It's an honor to speak with you, and I've just really enjoyed a lot of the message that you've been talking about for the past half hour, to not only to audiences all over the world, but to the movie industry, to get them to change the way they do things. And that's what one of the goals of this program is.
Thanks
for being with us today.
Thank you, Randall. I loved it. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate it. And we'll be back right after this break with the other producer on The Secret, Mr. Paul Harrington, just right after this. We'll be right back.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Understanding your soul's truth. Learn about the blueprint of your soul and understand the contract you made in this lifetime. Do you want to know how to manifest your soul's deepest desires and get answers to your most complicated questions? Tune into Soul Navigation with Meredith, world-renowned psychic life coach and professional astrologer. Broadcasting every Wednesday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on the 7th Wave Network, Soul Navigation brings you a fusion of spiritualists, relationship specialists, psychic mediums, mystics, life coaches, past life regressionists, astrologers, and get real experts that provide a deeper understanding of yourself and your soul's sacred contract in this lifetime. Know yourself in the past, present, and the future. Soul Navigation with Meredith. The soul craves the truth and will settle for nothing less.
Awakened media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Hi, we're back with the movie The Secret, and we're talking for this half hour with one of the other producers of the film, Mr. Paul Harrington, who's talking to us down under from Australia. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Randall. Good to speak with you.
All right. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more on this half hour with Paul about the production aspects of the film and some of the interesting stories that happened behind the scenes in terms of the making of the movie. So, Paul, one of the first things I wanted to find out from you is how did the film actually get started in terms of its funding and its budget? Where did that come from?
Okay, well, Rhonda and myself historically have been television producers in Australia. We've made television for all of the big networks down here, and so we approached this one in exactly the same way. It was something that unfolded into the film that became, but as we started out, it was, Rhonda walked in at the start of 2005 with this idea, with the material really, saying, I want to teach you about this, this is what I've learned, and then we need to work out what we're going to do, what sort of project we're going to make, and who we're going to make it for. Now, one of the remarkable things, I think, at that early stage, we came up with this scheme to present this to the networks, to the television networks in Australia, which I don't think had been done certainly down here, which was the way that we pitched it. We pitched it anonymously. These people know who we are, and they'll make time to see us and so on. But what we decided to do is was to make teaser trailers of the film. We we used some borrowed footage, but also went out and shot a few things that presented the background of the film. And it was very much a, like I say, very much a tease, these things. We created the first one. We put it in effectively, like I say, an anonymous sealed envelope, sent it up to two of the networks who we are based in Melbourne, and the networks are all based in Sydney. So we sent them up there, and to the executives in charge, the development executives, the programmers, and they received these things not knowing what the hell they were looking at or who'd sent it, and just having this mysterious concept of this secret that didn't really explain what the film, what the project was. Was it a 2-hour film? Was it a television series? Was it a reality series? They had no idea. Then 1 week later, we'd produced another one, sent that up. And then another week later, we'd produced another one. Each time, we unfolded a little more of what the secret was. So I think by the third week, we were producing these things. These trailers all appear on the DVD that's out under the special features. You see the range of trailers. And so we showed different aspects of the film, the history. We showed some of the elements that the secret as a concept can provide you. We have what we call the myth trailer, which is, you know, would you like to discover the fountain of youth? How would you feel about if you had the Midas touch, these sorts of things. And so by the end of the fourth week, we produced the big trailer that covered all ground, and we actually put our name to it. And by the time that arrived, we got phone calls from the networks saying, my God, we want this. When can you come and tell us all about it? So it was a flip process from, I think, the standard that you go up cap in hand asking a television network, can we have some money to make this project? We had the reverse happening with the networks coming to us saying, we have to have this. When can you tell us more about it? When can you sell it to us? So that was the first part of the process, was locking in a television network to commission. And with that, we obviously got seed money and raised the rest of the funding as we went along, effectively through private financing, through investors in both Australia and America. And from there, we were underway.
Well, that's a very, just like Rhonda said in the beginning of our interview, you actually used the secret to create the secret. And it seems that you did that right from the beginning.
Yeah. Well, that was Rhonda's dream all along. It was quite daunting because, I mean, and this is one of the production processes. It had always been my role to maintain and oversee budgets and schedules. And any time she saw me going to my budgeting and scheduling software, she said, no, we're not going to micromanage this. We're going to allow the universe to take care of those details. We're going to make the secret using the secret. Whatever we want will become available at the time, whenever we want it. And so that was really like jumping out of a plane without a parachute for me. And and I think that was one of the things, I guess, looking back, and Rhonda would agree now, that perhaps we were a little bit too fundamental in that concept of using the secret to make the thing. Where, as Rhonda may have mentioned, we're looking towards next year and producing a sequel, and we won't do that again. We think we'll have a comfortable budget and schedule next time, because it's just it just becomes a little bit too difficult to make a film, as many of your listeners will know, without some structures in place.
Well, definitely, I don't think you'll have any problem raising financing, because the film is very quickly becoming an international phenomenon, not only because of the very unique way you began its distribution, which was through an online pay-per-view event, but also now it's beginning to reach the ears and the eyes and ears of the media. And I'm sure that people who haven't heard about it will soon hear about it. One of the other things that I wanted to go into, which I didn't have time for with Rhonda, is during the actual production of The Secret, I'm sure, as it is the case with many visionary films that get made nowadays, there probably were some very interesting synchronistic events in terms of things happening in the production that were what people would call a little woo-woo, that sort of moved the project along or sort of made it kind of go in a direction that possibly was unexpected. Can you kind of give us a little of the insight into kind of the behind-the-scenes production and some of the things that happened during that, which sort of caught your inner attention?
Well, I think the most significant thing for anybody who's seen the film will appreciate this, that of course, the film is driven by 25 teachers who actually understand this information. They've learned about this information. They present it in seminars and through other forums. And we knew of all of these people through our research. There's many more throughout the world, but these were our ones that we were really wanting to speak to on film. And we approached a number of them. We got access to a number of them. Quite a few came to us in one fell swoop through Jack Canfield's group. He has a group called the Transformational Leadership Council, and they were having a conference. They get together every 6 months and discuss what each other is doing in their own teachings, in their own seminars, and so on.
So you just happened to be doing the shoot right at the time, and you didn't know about this event?
We were in America, uh-huh. And we were led to this group through a wonderful man by the name of Chris Atwood, who helped us out enormously, and he's a member of the TLC, so he spoke to the leadership of the group, and particularly Jack Canfield, and expressed what it was we were doing. So we were invited along to film at the conference, and so they simply announced what we were doing, and Rhonda was able to talk to the group and then invite anybody who wanted to be interviewed, and so we picked up a number of interviews. But that wasn't the real woo-woo moment. The thing is, behind the scenes, we had and naturally a number of those people were wonderful people, but we had one dream person that we really wanted to get. They're, you know, a living legend, a living master, by the name of Bob Proctor. Now, Bob travels the world. He's a Canadian gentleman. He travels the world. I believe he's in his 70s. He's very sought after and never takes a moment's rest. And it was just impossible to track him down. And, yeah, we were speaking to his people and finding out was there any opportunity when he'd be filming. And no, there wasn't. Now, I should mention that this Transformational Leadership Council conference was being held in Colorado I'm forgetting the name of the mountain, the famous ski lodge.
In Aspen?
Aspen, yes.
Oh, okay.
So they held this in Aspen, and I think it was July, August 2005. And so we finally get hold of Bob Proctor, and he's saying, no, just no time. Look, then he calls up and says, listen, I just happened to, he says, I've had this this meeting cancel on me. I'm in Aspen, Colorado. If you can get to me, I could do the recording. We said, you're in Aspen right now? He said, yeah, I'm in Aspen. I've got the weekend. I've got nothing to do. I said, well, we're in Aspen. Of all the places in the world, he's not at the TLC. He's just in this resort town. And available. So, got on our bikes very quick, let me tell you, and got straight over. And as it happens, a number of the TLC people regard Bob Proctor as their mentor. So we had a number of them dropping by to say hello to Bob as well. And so, as I say, for those that have seen the film, you see that Bob actually is, in many ways, the spine of the film because his teachings are so firmly and are closely aligned with Rhonda's vision of what the secret is. And we just knew at that point, at that early stage, that someone or something was looking after us when they delivered Bob Proctor so closely, so directly to us. So that was wonderful.
Well, that's a pretty amazing story. One of the other questions that I was on my mind was, there's so much happening in the world today in terms of people's shifting consciousness and transformational ideas. So what role do you feel that the film is playing in that aspect of having people actually view themselves and their view of reality differently?
It's an interesting thing because this is, you know, the overall awe that that we're dealing with, the response that we get from people, because one of the Rhonda's visions was that we not try and speak to, you know, Australia or to the world or anything of that sort, but to simply talk to one person. And so we made everything, you know, the performances, the intensity of the performances and so on, assume that there's just one person viewing. And I think that's what reaction people have at the other end. It was a remarkable foresight, because people at the other end, they are watching this film and seeing it resonate within their life and feeling that this is something that's for them, instead of, I guess, a lot of things that you get to view and hear and so on. You might pick up a few things and think, yeah, that's interesting, I might be able to use that in my life, but overall they seem to be talking to, you know, whether it be wealthy people or people in entirely different situation in their life, people wanting different things. So I think that's how we've managed to tap into an audience and really allow them to I guess appreciate what it is we're saying and in effect have an impact on what it is that they or the way that they view the world, perhaps, or simply aligning with the way they view the world, but allowing them to open up to new possibilities, to see how it is that they actually have some great control of their life if they choose it.
Hmm. I wanted to ask you, how has your view of life changed since before you started making The Secret and now afterwards? What has personally has the being involved with the film and its various concepts of has changed, you know, for you in your life? How do you look at things differently?
I think the first thing, and you know, being in film, we're dealing with technology so much, so you know, there is always that nasty reliance upon things working, and when things break down. Of course, they break down one after another. We just had that situation just last week. In fact, one thing after another went wrong. And, you know, what I think I've come to realize is my role in all of that, you know, and I'm just talking as a microcosm in terms of technology, that I'll curse and I'll scream and I'll, you know, throw things at the wall and say, you know, why aren't you people realizing that I can't, you know, I have a deadline, I can't allow for this, you know, why is nobody else? And so one thing after another goes wrong, and I stop and realize, hang on, all this is coming from one place. There's only one person that's worrying about this deadline, and there's only one person that's pushing this deadline further away. So I think that's probably the thing that struck me most was again coming to realize that all of the good things that happen are driven by my thoughts, my desires to have these things happen, and all of the bad things are happening because of my focus upon the potential for bad things to happen. So I guess the real impact that it's had on me is giving me that pause, that moment to stop and say, hang on, stop, just walk away for a little bit, think about what it is that you want, think about what it is that the atmosphere that you're creating around yourself, and change that. I think I've also come to realize that people who might frustrate me, what role I'm having in the characteristics that they're showing me. So I can't get frustrated with people. I simply need to appreciate them for what they are and what they're trying to do. And so I think it's probably just tempered, or well, hasn't really controlled my emotions, but it's allowed me to realize that that whenever I do get frustrated and angry with people or with events, that that's not having a good effect. It's actually having a bad effect. So cut that out. You know, I think I probably was inclined to swear and curse a lot more than I do now. So so perhaps that's good for my family anyway.
I'm sure that they feel better about it, having you be a change from making your own film. Now, the film right now is still being distributed online, and it's also through DVD. And Rhonda told me that you're starting to also run in film festivals around the country, and actually quite successfully. So what is, when you do your next film in terms of its distribution, are you going to do the same thing? Are you going to start off online, or are you going to go theatrical or straight to DVD? Or what are your thoughts right now, having this, gone through this experience and this process? In other words, next time, are you going to maintain the same approach or actually change it in terms of the film's initial distribution when you make the sequel?
Well, it was an interesting thing first time around, I guess. We had this, I don't know if Rhonda explained, but the vision of reaching out to the whole world at once, which is, I think, why we, and being television producers, we just assumed television was the way to go. And till we sort of encountered other people's sort of limitations on being able to have a television event happen all at once. We had sales agents working for us. We had television programmers at the other end. Everybody sort of saying, no, it can't happen. I must admit, when Rhonda said it to me, I said, can't happen. I got halfway through, can't happen, and realized, no, I'm not supposed to tell Rhonda can't happen. So we just came up with another way of doing that. So I think one of the things about film, about releasing in the cinema, is that certainly the film that we produced, that was not going to be feasible to have a worldwide release, because it was, you know, was regarded, or people were looking at it at that point as, you know, perhaps something aligned with What the Bleep Do We Know. Great film, however, it was always going to be released in that platform style release, you know, one territory after another.
Right, and they started out without a distributor either.
Yes, yeah. Right. So now I think, who knows what opportunities people will put in front of us, but, you know, when I say that, say, I don't know, King Kong or Superman Returns, or I'm not sure what the latest blockbuster is this summer in America, but these big George Lucas-sized mega movies do get released in a lot of countries at once, and I guess a lot of that has to do with piracy and so on, so everybody gets to see it at once rather than holding back. And maybe now that opportunity presents itself to us that distributors and exhibitors all over the world will see that our film, the sequel to our film anyway, will potentially open and generate a lot of interest, a lot of box office. So it is now possible for us to release in the cinema. But having said that, we were very happy with the way that we went out online, and that was actually you know, the thing that pleased me is that was driven by our audience. Really, there were we have a forum on our website, and as we were releasing in a sort of a viral marketing method, I don't know if you spoke with Rhonda about that, but simply teasing through emails and having people pass on emails of trailers, we built up a database of people who were registering to be part of our forum and to hear news along the way. And when we announced that it was we were looking to go out to television, we had people writing into us saying, why would you do that? You know, you found us through the internet. Why don't you release it through the internet? And so that's probably the thing that first struck us. Well, can we do that? You know, is the technology really good enough? You know, we've all sort of looked at small QuickTimes and Windows Media Player and RealPlayer type postage stamp images, and that was really not something that we wanted to do. But we, you know, eventually chanced upon, I think, another sort of synchronicity moment was was that Rhonda called me up from, she was in, I think, Chicago at the time, and said, look, the television thing, we don't want to go this way. The television networks can't align to allow us to do that. What other way can we reach out to the world all at once? And is there something online that we can do? And so back in Melbourne, we started looking around at technology software packages that that wouldn't mean people had to download a program in order to play our film, and chanced upon this little software package called Dividaz, which was that very day, I should add, that very day they were launching a TV commercial as a viral marketing campaign. Now, the commercial was for an Australian beer company, and it was a send-up commercial. It was it was called Big Ad, and I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a basically a cast of thousands singing this sort of operatic Wagnerian tribute to beer. And you can only understand what they're saying by the subtitles, because it's all, as I say, very operatic. And then you get this overview, and it's, as I say, sent up as a British Airways commercial from many years ago, where they form, through the colours that they're wearing, they form a picture on the ground of a face, a head, a body drinking a glass of beer.
So you saw this commercial and you realized that what you needed to do was possible using this particular software and distribution,
that's the software that could do it. We tracked it down.
And it had just come out.
it had come out that very day.
Amazing.
And the best part was that we found out that who developed this? Probably somebody in Silicon Valley. It was a little Melbourne software company who were 2 miles around the corner from our office who developed this world-first software. So, again, we thought, somebody's looking after us. So that's the software we used. They redeveloped it for a feature film purpose, and that's the software we went out with. So our database was very happy that we used the online methods. And so it sort of, it does feel like that's our market, that's our way. But as I say, we'll see how technology is unfolding so quickly, and there's also opportunities. I mean, I love the way that that some of these other spiritual films that are coming out, like the Indigo Project and Conversations with God and so on, they're actually tapping into Unity churches and so on all around America and turning churches into cinemas for a weekend so that they can project their films and throughout the church congregation.
Right.
It's
a new distribution model that Visionary Films and Spiritual Cinema is very much making use of, and becoming very successful. Well, Paul, we're kind of coming to the close here. I really want to thank you for joining us on Spirit of Film Conversations. It's been a pleasure talking with both you and Rhonda for the hour. And look forward to additional projects for you in the future through Primetime Productions, and now that you have offices in Australia and in the United States.
That's right.
If anyone wants to get in contact with you, I'm sure they can do so through thesecret.tv, which is the main website for The Secret Movie, if anyone has not seen it yet. And if you haven't, I highly recommend that you go online and check it out today. Anyway, Paul, thanks again. It's been a real pleasure, and take care.
Thank you, Randall. Bye-bye.
Well, that's a wrap for our show this week. I'd like to thank Rhonda and Paul for being with us today and talking about the movie, The Secret. Join us again next week as we showcase the very best in movie entertainment that inspires us towards positive change and honors the belief that simple choices can change the world. I'd like to thank our engineers, Ruben Colomb and Ryan Treasure, who helped put the show together, and especially to Tom Kirsch and the rest of the Catfish Groove Farm Band for our theme music. You can hear more of their really cool tunes at catfishgroovefarm.com. And of course, you can find out more on the internet about Spirit of Film Conversations and the movies we talk about each week by going to my website at spiritoffilm.net. And please tell your friends about where to find our program right here on seventhwavenetwork.com. And remember, you are the writer, producer, director, and star of your own movie that's called Your Life. So make it a blockbuster, and it'll be a classic. Until next time, I'm Randall Libero for Spirit of Film Conversations. We'll see you next week.